Hello and welcome to A Cup of Something Lovely, a fortnightly creative business podcast. I'm Laura Greenland, a tea-drinking, ocean-loving, former digital nomad, and I'm here to help you build a truly successful yet soulful business. I've been building my own brand since the end of 2019. I'll be sharing stories, anecdotes, experiences and tips through a mixture of gorgeous solo episodes and exclusive guest interviews from aligned industry experts. I'm so excited that you're here. A massive, massive welcome back to A Cup of Something Lovely. I'm so happy to have you here today. My name is Laura Greenland and I've been hosting this podcast since last year. I'm just trying to think actually when we launched. We're in our second season now and I'm just so happy to be back and podcasting, you know, two or three times every single month. We relaunched the podcast in March and it's just been such a pleasure to be, back with my microphone and back talking to you guys. Now, this month on the podcast, our theme has been geared around sort of productivity, focus, motivation. And today I wanted to share a little bit of a different perspective on morning routines and why I'll never be a member of the 5am club. So I kind of want to start today by tackling that exact subject. So there was definitely, I would say, and I, to a certain extent, I think there still is a huge kind of trend and popularity and almost a bit of an obsession about being part of the 5am club as an entrepreneur. Now, a lot of, you know, highly successful, very kind of prevalent, entrepreneurs, speakers and celebrities cite getting up at the absolute crack of dawn as one of the reasons that they've been so successful. And what, you know, whether it's 4am, 5am, maybe 6am, but they're getting up, you know, pre-sunrise and they're having these like super productive, jam-packed mornings and they're, you know, they're running a 5K and they're doing all the things and they're in the gym before most people are even, you know, vaguely awake in the morning. Now, I just want to kind of start today by saying, like, I never will be a part of the 5am club and I'm kind of willing to go out on a limb here. I am now 34 and I'm fairly confident that that's never going to change for me. And I've kind of made my peace with that. Now, it's not to say that I'm always up super late. You know, it's quite normal for me to be awake sort of 6:30, 7 maybe. But what I don't do when I wake up at that time is sort of launch myself out of bed into this big, convoluted, complex and highly pressured morning routine. For me, it's just not conducive to feeling good when I first wake up. And that's just something that's always been the case for me. When I worked in my corporate role, I worked in the corporate environment for, you know, 10 or so years actually before I launched my business. And, you know, my start times would vary. It would depend sort of what role I was in at what point in my career. But, you know, I still had to be in the office pretty early sometimes. And I just never found that my productivity, you know, in the mornings, like full stop, were particularly good. It was always quite forced. It was always because I, you know, had to be in meetings or I had to be performing because that was my 9 to 5, as it were. But I am naturally a night owl. I always have been. I think I probably always will be. Now, my morning routine probably looks very different to some of these, you know, snazzy, jazzy, super focused, super, you know, hyper productive morning routines that are out there. For me right now, it looks a little bit like rolling out of bed, and that's kind of when my body and my brain is ready to do so. And sometimes I'm lying on my phone and I might be on TikTok first thing in the morning. And I know that's probably a no-no in terms of your nervous system, and I'm not necessarily condoning that you do that, but sometimes it's lying in bed and it's just cuddling with Bear, who's my German Shepherd. Sometimes I'll make a cup of tea, get back into a bed for a little bit, and I might have a scroll through TikTok, or maybe I'll check my emails or some Facebook groups. For me, what I sort of choose to do in the morning is what feels good for me at that point in time. And sometimes it is just lying and listening to the birds outside my window. I'm so lucky that I live in the middle of the countryside and I've got so much kind of nature and wildlife around me that it's really lovely. Like the sun will shine through the window and through the curtains. That kind of helps to naturally wake me up at this time of year anyway. And I can just hear the bird song and it's really idyllic and it's really beautiful. sometimes it is a bit of scrolling on social media. It just kind of depends what feels good. Now, once I'm up and about, what I really love to do and what I've got in the habit of ever since I moved into my current place back at the beginning of February, so I've been here for like nearly 3 months now, actually, is I do kind of like a full, I sort of call it my little mini cabin reset each morning. So I live in quite a small place. It's just like a one bedroom with an ensuite. I've got a really lovely kind of open plan living space with my kitchen. And then I've got like a conservatory that kind of wraps around the front and the side of the cabin. So, you know, it's not a huge space. It is just me and my dog. So doing kind of like a full house reset is actually something that's quite simple. I do try and kind of keep on top of, you know, mess and bits and bobs sort of throughout the day. But what I love to do in the morning is I usually start in the bedroom and I kind of make my bed and tidy things up and put things away. I move into the living space, you know, reset all of that, like my cushions and my throws and all of the good things. And then I go into the kitchen and kind of clean off, you know, clean off the sides, do the dishes, etc. Usually have breakfast, usually have a cup of tea whilst I'm doing that. I might have some music on in the background, or I'm usually watching Friends or something else on Netflix potentially. Bear is just relaxing in the conservatory. He loves to sort of lay in the sunshine out there in the morning. And that for me is just so, it's such a productive way to start my day because it then naturally makes my brain super, super focused. So for me, if my space is kind of full of clutter, it almost makes my brain feel like it's full of clutter as well. So if I don't do this in the morning, like if I have to go out first thing, for example, and then come back a bit later in the day and I haven't done that reset in the morning, then I really find I have to come back and do it like in the middle of the day, like before I then sit down to do the rest of my work for the afternoon. I just can't work in chaos. It really, I don't know what it does in my head, but it just makes me feel really sort of quite stressed and anxious. So for me, doing that kind of reset, like that for me is what I love to do in the morning. You know, I usually reach out to my team wherever possible just to kind of get like a little check-in and an update from them, just to find out sort of what we're doing for the day. Obviously, I'll have a little look through sort of what my priorities are, my to-do list, etc. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about kind of that type of planning in a little bit. But I think finding my natural rhythm and my natural way of working, and that, you know, kind of influencing what I do in the morning, what I do throughout my day, and then what I do in the evening and before bedtime, has been like a game changer. I spent so many years trying to sort of shoehorn myself into the corporate space and that kind of corporate world. And you have to be like creative on demand, you have to be constantly like performing, there's no such thing as downtime. Like, okay, sure, you might get a lunch break in the middle of the day, but that's like as good as it gets in terms of that sort of headspace that you sometimes need. I love to kind of do this in the morning. I have like some slow and gentle work, potentially sort of late morning, lunchtime. I love to take Bear out for like an early afternoon walk. That's like his perfect time of day for being walked, just in terms of his rhythm as well. And, you know, sometimes I come home after Bear's been walked, I'll do a little bit more work in the afternoon. I quite often have a nap. Like, I love an afternoon nap. I'm such a siesta. Like, I would do so well in Spain. I absolutely love like an afternoon snooze, maybe an hour, maybe a little bit more. And I almost come alive in the evening. Like, I'm recording this podcast episode. It's currently 8 p.m. Here I am in the UK. And it's because my brain is now awake and it's kind of at its best. So find your natural rhythm and really, really lean into that. I also want to kind of, you know, just touch on some other things. So that's kind of my morning reset. You might do something completely different. So for you, it might be doing some kind of, well, it could be gentle movement. It could be intensive movement. Maybe you go to the gym first thing in the morning and lift heavy weights or do a HIIT workout or a dance class. Maybe you just do some gentle stretching and some yoga. It could be prioritizing, you know, your nutrition and having like a really, really scrummy breakfast or making a smoothie. It could be doing some mindset work. Maybe in the morning, that's your time to do some journaling or some planning. Or it could just be literally rolling out of bed whenever that feels good for you and respecting how you feel when you wake up. I think the most important thing for me is your morning routine should make you feel good. Like, there's no rules on what a productive morning should look like. There are no hard and fast rules on what your morning routine should look like. What we're actually aiming for when we set up some kind of morning routine, in my opinion, is to find a sense of like peace, fulfillment, happiness, and those things are naturally going to kind of fuel the level of like productivity and focus that you then subsequently experience. I heard a really great bit of advice, and I cannot for the life of me think where I heard it or when I heard it even, but it has kind of like wedged itself in my brain and it's always stayed with me. And it was talking about this kind of concept that your day is split up. Like, imagine your day is split up into like four quarters. So instead of just thinking like, well, I've got, you know, in every week, I've got 7 days. And depending on what happens on that day at any kind of given point, you're going to kind of almost class that as like a good day or a bad day. And when we think about it like that, it's like the same if you were to think about like a whole month. Let's say you had one bad day in your month. You wouldn't go, well, that's been a terrible month. That's been awful. You'd be like, yeah, on the whole, it's been pretty good. And I had like a couple of rubbish days in there, but generally speaking, it was pretty positive. You can do the same thing with your day. So even if you have, you know, a bad quarter, like let's say something happens just before lunchtime and it throws you off a bit, maybe it was some unexpected news or, I don't know, a problem with an order or whatever it might be, it doesn't have to then ruin the rest of your day. It doesn't have to then ruin the subsequent quarters that are coming, but it can really set the tone. So if your first quarter of your day, so like when you first wake up and when you first, you know, come back to life after a nice sleep and you're kind of setting those intentions and setting your day up either in the right way or the wrong way for you, it will set the tone. So for me, like dragging myself out of bed, almost kicking and screaming and having no time to do anything in the morning because I had to have like a big commute into work. Then I'd get into work and I'd be really stressed and I'd be immediately just bombarded with just crap from the office. And it would just be such a toxic environment to walk into every single day. And although I'm saying like, don't let a bad quarter ruin the rest of your day, like as much as possible, like that can sometimes be quite a nice sort of reframing to have. So even if something sort of trips you up a bit, you don't have to let it ruin everything that comes next. You can kind of move on from it. But I think one of the most influential quarters is that first one. So if you are experiencing negative stuff, if someone is driving you mad at work, if you're just feeling really frustrated, really overwhelmed, and your space is chaotic, and you know, it's just like carnage for those first few hours of being awake, it will influence what comes next. Personally, I think it's one of the hardest ones to kind of overcome. Like, I think maybe it's because we're still kind of like waking up and sort of settling into the day. So if you can find a way of starting each morning that really kind of fills your cup and it really supports you, it makes you feel really good, like that to me will then naturally result in better productivity and better focus and better motivation and all those things that we're kind of tapping into and talking about quite a bit this month. I do think we have to, like so many things in business, just kind of like release the pressure around this a little bit. If you're sort of, well, if you're in the not 5 a.m. club like me, I know sometimes I can feel a little bit intimidated when I know that someone does have like a hyper productive, slightly intimidating morning routine. Like sometimes you feel like you're behind a bit or you're just not like performing at their level, for example. So release that pressure a little bit. Also feel free to embrace like an evening routine if that also works for you. I have like a little bit of a pattern that I follow generally before I go to bed, but again, it's nothing too fancy. It's nothing too stressful. I slow down and I stop working when I start feeling a bit tired, and I let my sort of body and my mind guide when my proverbial evening routine sort of kicks in. It's not necessarily, again, a big convoluted pre-planned thing. I just know that by the time my head hits the pillow, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling ready to rest, and I've kind of downloaded enough out of my brain so that I am able to kind of switch off and try and get some really good sleep. I mean, I can't really emphasize the importance of good sleep enough. You know, I'm not a sleep consultant, I'm not a sleep expert, but I've been in the entrepreneurial world for a very long time. I've been in the corporate space for even longer. And I know the impact that bad sleep, anxiety, overthinking, like throughout the night, like how much that can impact you. And it trashes your ability to focus and to perform the way that you need to. You know, I've gone through some really sort of turbulent months, you know, since the tail end of last year, personally, less so business-wise, because of everything that happened in my relationship. I've talked about that quite a bit on the first few episodes of this second season, if you've not caught up yet. But the disruption that I experienced to like my rhythm and my sleep and my, well, everything, like my appetite, my motivation, my energy, my creativity, all of those things just kind of compiled. But I did go for a long period of time where I was experiencing severe anxiety overnight. I was really fearful of my phone. I was really panicked by the prospect of getting like calls and messages overnight and things. I just was in this kind of like disaster catastrophizing mindset. I was waking up bolt upright at like 3-4 a.m. most nights for a couple of hours, and it was awful, and it would absolutely ruin me for the day after. So anything you can do to kind of help yourself chill and help yourself kind of ease into that restful sleep state, absolutely do that. But again, just release the pressure. It doesn't have to be perfect. Not every day has to be the same. I also find the more strict my routine is, and this could be, I'm on a bit of a neurodiversity exploratory kind of journey right now, and I'm learning so much more about my brain. And for me, if I set myself up with like a really complex routine, so say like in the morning, I'm trying to do 5, 6, 7, 8 different steps, I can usually do it really strictly, and I'll do it and I'll do it and I'll do it. And if I have one day where I don't do it, I never do it again. And I've always been like that. I'm so good at being super, super strict with something, unless there's like a hiccup, and then it's like I've never done that routine before and I'm never going to touch it again. So for me, I have to kind of be quite fluid and organic with it, so as not to set myself up for failure. So that's my way of kind of releasing that pressure. For you, it might be just finding a slightly more fluid way of either gearing yourself up in the morning or winding yourself down in the evening. Now, if you are looking for some kind of more support around your productivity, your focus, your motivation, we've got 4 really beautiful digital downloads that we produced for April. They are all available over on our website. So if you hop onto the website and just hit our main menu, I'll put the link in the show notes as well. You can go through directly to our digital downloads page. Now, last month we focused on like really sustainable like resets, a little bit about goal setting, and just kind of getting ready to launch and getting ready to get back into it. I know it was March last month and it wasn't January, but that was really, really intentional. We wanted to kind of create quite an organic reset as we're kind of going into the spring and as we're sort of taking on this next season of business and going into Q2 as well. And then it felt really apt to go into like productivity, focus, motivation, especially now that we're like properly in Q2, which is super exciting. We've got, as I say, 4 different resources this month that are all geared around those particular themes. We've got a really awesome kind of productivity planner. So when you are starting your day, if you find it useful to kind of get all of your tasks out of your head onto paper, the productivity planner has some lovely sheets in there that you can fill out. It talks about like today's to-do lists, ongoing jobs, like, you know, your non-negotiables, things that need to get done. And whether you follow like a really consistent routine or if you have a more dynamic schedule, it doesn't really matter. Like, it kind of works regardless. And you know, you can categorize all of your to-dos into like priorities, quick wins, things that maybe you can come back to another time. All of our downloads are essentially like limitless. Like, they're digital. You can print them out if you want to. You can use them in the digital format if that's better for you, like as a PDF. You get them instantly as well once you download them from the website. The productivity planner is literally just a couple of dollars. It's really not very expensive at all. All of our digital downloads are super affordable. So do pop over and have a little look. They're not going anywhere. We're going to keep each kind of wave of downloads on the website forever. So if you're listening to this podcast and this is, you know, 6-12 months in the future, these resources should still be online and they'll still be available for you to go and download. If you are listening in April of 2024, then hop on it. Like, let's have a really productive Q2. Thank you so much for hopping onto the podcast today and listening along to our latest tea break session. We try and keep our tea break episodes sort of 20 minutes, there or thereabouts. The aim being that you can make yourself a cup of something lovely, cup of tea, coffee, whatever, sit down and have a little bit of a rest, listen to an episode, and then crack on with your day. So I hope you've loved this one as much as I have recording it, and I will speak to you very, very soon. If you've enjoyed this episode of Cup of Something Lovely, then I would love for you to subscribe. You'll always get notified whenever we've got a new episode available. You can also come and find me over on Instagram at Ebb, Flow and Grow. Over on the website, www.ebbflowandgrow.com, you'll also find heaps of resources, some free, some low cost, and all of the details on how to work with us, upcoming dates for our future retreats, and so much more. You can also hop on our email list and you'll receive all of our latest resources, and we send out a few emails each month with little updates on everything that's going on at Ebb, Flow and Grow HQ.